My name is Faye Gayton and I live at Trevor's Road, Bargara.
And my name is Betty McLean and I live in Bargara too, but I'm in Wally Street. Today's date is the 10th of November 2001. We're in Bundaberg and we're recording the Story Project.
And we are going to talk about, to start with, our houses when we were growing up. I'd like to begin with the fact that in our house, because my grandfather, or my great-grandfather, came to Australia to build gasworks, and my grandfather ran the gasworks here, we had everything in the house gas. That doesn't just include the stove and, say, the hot water system. It means that the lights were gas. The refrigerator was gas, the stove was gas, the iron was gas, the washing machine downstairs was gas. And it meant that when we were growing up, we couldn't just walk into a room and use a switch. We had to climb when we were young onto a chair to light the gas light, which was a little thing that sat inside a light on the ceiling. Needless to say, when I grew up, I was so scared to go from one room into the other because I was frightened in the dark.
Well, I don't remember having gas in our house here. I remember that my grandparents in Brisbane had gas lights, but they did. And also, my aunt, who lived at Bernard Heads, had
Was it one of those lanterns that you pumped?
Yes, something like that.
Yes.
I don't remember.
I remember
exactly
we had that when I taught in the country.
Yes, well, I think a lot of the country houses had that, and a sort of dynamo thing that they had to
did
to do that. But when my father built had his house built in Walker Street in 1928, the electricity was here. In those days, it was DC, not AC. And you could only have one power point in the house, so that my mother had a gas stove, and then when later on she got a refrigerator, it was a gas refrigerator, and we had gas. She had a wooden boiler,
wooden downstairs.
Boiler to, downstairs to do the laundry, but we didn't have any
hot water. Yes, that's correct.
Had to have it all. But she was very pleased to have a gas stove.
I noticed too in those days when you were teaching and relieving, after having to stay at a country hotel, quite often in the bathroom they'd have a gas heater over the bath. And
yes.
You also had to put a chair against the door because there was no locks. Quite often somebody would come in while you were using the bath.
Well, I remember staying with friends in the country here and they had a chip heater.
Oh, I remember them.
In the bathroom. And I was always scared about the chip heaters because they made a lot of flames and I didn't like flames.
It's true. Different to modern time, isn't it?
Certainly is. But even when we went to live in Bargara in the 1950s, we didn't have any gas. We had to have gas cylinders to get the gas. I had an electric stove and a wood stove. And we had gas cylinders for the hot water in the kitchen and
yes,
in the bathroom.
As we do today.
As
I'm still cooking with gas.
Well, I much prefer cooking with gas, I must admit.
I think more people are getting back to that now. Well, while we're on Bargara, Betty, what about the shacks that used to be down there?
Oh, yes. When we were living at Bargara, they had lots of shacks at the far end of Neilson Park, and they were all privately owned. People were allowed to put up these little shacks. They didn't have any water in them. Some of them may have had a small tank that they filled
from
the roof.
I think they had tanks at the back, but the tap was inside the
The tap was
the
inside the shack. But you weren't allowed to stay in them overnight, and you weren't supposed to sleep in them. But I think a lot of people did sleep there on Sunday afternoons.
Well, there was no policeman down at Bargara in those days.
But it was a pity when they got rid of the shacks. When they did get rid of them, they all had to be shifted. All the owners had to shift them. And I remember my mother had one and she had it shifted into the backyard of our house at Bagara.
You used it when your dad came down.
And when after she died and my father came down to live with us, it was made into a bedroom for him. We had electricity put onto it and he had a bedroom there. They were very social.
Well, they were social because we used to go down there every Sunday and Mr. and Mrs. Shields had a shack. And my mother and father went there. The Williamses from the bank went down there.
Oh, they were very social.
And we had so much to eat that it was dealt out very carefully. I can remember my brother always got twice the helping of pudding that I did because as Mrs. Shields liked him, she made sure he got a big helping.
Bagara was a good place for a holiday in those days too.
Oh, it was lovely.
And or Bernard Heads, there were lots of little houses that you could rent at Bernard Heads, but I remember my mother, who lived at Kinaba as she was growing up, they went to Monrepeau for their holidays,
and that's where the cable station.
That's where the cable station was, and she used to tell us that she saw Bert Hinkler flying his. Flights on the beach when he first started.
My dad remembered planes, that of course. Too. And Dad, of course, lived over north side, just down the street from where Bert Hinkler's house was. So I think he was a little bit older than Bert.
Yes, well, he was older than my mother, but that was where they had their camp. They used to build quite a big arrangement so that they could stay in it for weeks. It was the school holidays, and they went all the distance from Kinaba to Monrepeau.
It would be quite an interesting trip, a long way round in those days.
Yes. And, of course, in those days, they used to have the railway picnic down in... In my day, they used to have the railway picnic.
That was quite a big thing, wasn't it?
And it was a very big thing. It was originally arranged for the staff of the railway. There
That's
was a,
right.
a railway line that went from Bundaberg to Bagara, and the... staff association, I suppose it was, used to arrange the railway picnic. The first one was in 1927.
Was it? That was the year I was born. I wasn't here to
Well, you
see
would
it.
Remember that one. But it was quite an event. Eventually it was made open to other people besides railway people. First of all the entertainment.
Trains came from
the
all
trains
around.
Came from all around.
Even as far as Mirabar.
Yes.
Mm. And wasn't there an accident on the line coming down from... Mount Perry once?
I don't remember
that. I had a
that.
Feeling there was.
But I know the railway picnic was still on when we were living in Bagara and my children were small because they used to get up very early on railway picnic day and be one of the first over to get all the ice blocks and things.
Well, you could tell where it went across the golf links at Bagara at one stage.
Yes. And then they pulled up the line. It was a pity because it would have been a good... tourist attraction these days, although I suppose people don't like railway travel as much as they do car travel.
And this is one place I can get my little push in here about pronouncing the names correctly. Since a lot of the people have shifted here from the south, some of the names of the streets and places have changed their pronunciation. And Bagara was originally the first three letters of Brolin and the last letters of Woongarra. But now it's Bagara. How do they say it? Bagara.
Bagara.
It's Bagara now. And I can remember Joan Buchan, who used to live down here in the early days and went to school with me. Her father was one of the early settlers here. But the Buchan Street is now pronounced Buchane Avenue by the people who live there. Sounds better.
Yes, lots of the streets in Bagara. The older streets
That's
are
right.
named after old residents who...
Nearly all of them are,
nearly
aren't
all
they?
Are, mm.
Up from the Esplanade back.
Yes.
All the streets. And Holland and Tanner and Croft and Grimwood.
Clark. Grimwood, yes, they were all...
And where I am, Cossart Crescent.
That's right.
And
I remember
Travis
Mrs.
Road.
Cossart in the CWA.
That's right. The names. And C Street.
Oh, yes,
the seas were well known down
well
there.
Well known down there.
They were.
Because the things that you did for entertainment were much different from...
They certainly were.
The as a child, I can remember being taken to a dance at Bernard Heads, because we stayed often for holidays at Bernard Heads with my aunt.
Well, you who had aunt, a relation
there. Had a cane farm. And they used to go on Saturday nights to
dance at
Bernard Heads. I don't think everybody danced them. A lot of the older people used to play cards.
Euchre. I think they used to play euchre and have euchre tournaments.
And when I came back to Bargara in the late 50s, there were still euchre parties held every Saturday night. At that stage, most of them were held in people's homes.
That's correct. That's where we played most of the bridge and cards.
Yes.
And that also happened at Elliot Heads in the kiosk.
That's right.
They played euchre.
Euchre was very popular. I never admitted I could play. But
I've been known to play.
My grandfather was very keen on cards, and he taught all of us grandchildren. There were about five of us, big ones.
Yeah.
And he taught us all to play cards. He said, if you learn to play cards properly, you'll never play cards and gamble. So that was it.
I was taught the same lesson. We learned to play cards.
We learned to
and
play.
And I'm still doing it. I love bridge. I like any cards, actually. I did enjoy playing in the home better than playing at clubs.
Yes.
Mm. Social.
Saturday afternoons or Saturday nights, my parents used to play a lot of cards.
Yes, my dad
did. Remember Mr. and Mrs. Crony. He was the headmaster of the high school. They used to come around and they would play bridge. I was once called in to play with him, and I was reprimanded for not playing a certain card, which I didn't hold in my hand.
He thought it was there.
He thought
the
it
one
was
thing
there.
About bridge and the cards taught you how to count.
Certainly did. Cribbage was a good one for counting.
Very good. Well, I never went travelling without taking a crib board. My good friend Grace and I did a lot of trips overseas and around the country, and we always had a travelling crib board, which we used to play with. And while talking about entertainment, in those days, the whole family did it, didn't they?
Yes,
we would go to town on a Saturday night, remember that?
Oh, yes.
And we didn't buy anything.
No, you
only looked. Excepting the drink at the end if we were good. And that would be either an ice cream sundae or one of those spiders.
Spiders, yes.
Or malted milks. And
malted
usually
milks
at Lewis Brothers.
That's right. All Lewis's.
Mm.
Although Lewis's was more popular because it was a dance place.
And
in
most
those
of those people that ran the cafes in Bundaberg then were Greeks, weren't they?
Yes. Mm.
And ran good cafes.
They ran good cafes and nothing was ever too much trouble for them.
No, very good.
I remember when Harold Williams came up to Bundaberg to sing in Faust, the musical version of Faust, not the whole opera. And after the performance was over, my father said to him, "Now, would you like some supper?" And he said, "What I'd really like is a good steak." And he took him along to Lewis's cafe.
He would have got it.
And he got Lathuris's cafe. And Mick Lathuris said, "Yes, Mr. Williams, I will make you a good steak." So he had his good steak.
No, they
weren't. I'm sure he didn't ever get that in Sydney or Brisbane.
I'm sure you wouldn't. Remember, we used to have Guy Fawkes Night, and that week we also were given some of those little Tom Thumb crackers, and if you were very lucky, you got a packet of sparklers.
Yes, you had to be very good, though.
That was good. It really was. And, of course, everybody did it together. There was no such thing as the children going out to things on their own.
Oh, no, the whole family did
family
things
did
together.
It.
And, of course, a lot of the things were in the daytime. They had so many garden parties and flower
That's
shows
right.
and doll shows. I noticed doll shows are coming back again, but they're not quite the same as the doll shows
Very
in those
competitive.
Days. Well, they used to have prizes for the oldest doll and the youngest doll and the smallest doll and the largest doll, but they were dolls that the children
used.
Played with.
That's quite right. I can remember I think I had three dolls, which I thought was very lucky, and my brother, who at that age was a bit of a scamp, had a car, one of those little push cars, and he lined the dolls up on the floor one day and ran over them all. Needless to say, the dolls didn't come out looking the same.
Well, I was doll mad, I must admit, and they told a story about me when I was about 9, and I had my birthday, and I had a wonderful array of presents, all sorts of things, but the family had decided I was too old for no dolls, and I opened everything up and I said, not a dolly.
Well, that's something a bit different today, isn't it? The Christmas presents.
Well,
what did you get for a present? I know I got a book and I used that book all year.
Oh, I used to get... I loved two books. Maiden aunts who were very much into books, and I did get a lot of books. I still have my copy of Alice in Wonderland, which I got when I was 5.
I had that too.
And it's all illustrated with lots and lots of beautiful pictures in it, and it's falling to pieces a bit because it did get well and truly...
I gave mine to one of my nieces.
And my brother used to save up his pocket money and buy me an Ellen Montgomery book for my birthday.
I absolutely adored
Anne
Greengale.
So I had most of the Ellen Montgomery books.
They were lovely, yes. That's one place I went to in Canada.
Oh, lucky you.
I went there to see it. Very, very disappointing because it was so commercial. You had to join a queue to go through the house.
Oh, how unfortunate.
Which meant that you didn't see much.
No.
And you couldn't go anywhere else. That's not here.
What about
the school balls? They were different.
Oh, they were different. They had school fancy dress balls, and for which we had to rehearse really carefully because they had what we called sets.
That's
where
right.
Eight children were all, four boys and four girls, were all lined up and all had the same sort of costumes.
I can remember that, yes.
I can remember being in one when I was in scholarship class, and it was seniors and senioritas. And it was absolutely lovely because Mr. Schult was our teacher at the time, organised all the
headdresses. Yes.
And we had to have black dresses and shawls. And we thought we were just lovely.
I bet you did.
Of course, we had to also rehearse the grand parade.
Oh, the grand parade. I can remember even when I was teaching having to take rehearsals for the grand parade in the Austral Hall.
Oh, that's right.
Yes, it was quite a place, the Austral Hall, wasn't it?
It certainly was. They used to hold the musical festivals in the...
And it had a gallery?
Yes.
That went round. And I can remember Miss Greathead, the singing teacher and the music teacher, used to have a concert there every year. Most of them had their concerts.
Most of the music teachers.
She had a swing put up there at one stage, and I think I must have been about 8, and I had to sit in the swing. And I was never very good at heights, and I hated it when you went over the audience. I was terrified.
Well, I can remember Mrs. Borum, Jeff Borum's mother, organising a big pageant in the Winter Garden Theatre.
Oh, truly.
And I must have only been 6 or 7 or something. And they had one section which was all toy things, and each story came out of a big storybook. They had somebody opening the book.
Oh, so they had the book there.
They had the book on the stage.
And the pageant to do with it.
And then somebody came out, and I was Little Miss Muffet. And I had to come out of the book and dance around the stage with a huge spider and then sit very quietly at the side of the stage while the others came on. And
that would have taken some organising, wouldn't it?
It was very well organised. And then I think it was Myra Buss, later Myra Borum,
yes.
Was Little Red Riding Hood. And she had a dog, a wolf dog. And when she'd done her little dance around the stage, she had to stand next to me, and I was terrified that dog
the dog
bite me.
It's wonderful how we got our kicks then, and we enjoyed it without anything
us. Right. The costumes, I don't know, the mothers all seem to produce the costumes. But we were the first item on, and I think we didn't stay for the whole thing. We were sent taken home early in the evening.
I can remember too when I first came back to South to teach, I had to take the maypole.
Oh, yes, that
and
was
that
fun.
Was quite a thing, because you not only had the main ribbons, but you had the practice ribbons, and they had to be wound up. And 15 minutes it took from beginning to end.
And the maypole got very complicated at some stages, and if one person got the thing wrong, that was it.
Well,
ruined it.
You had to have a lot of practice, as I can tell you. But it really was interesting, and the whole thing went to sixes.
Yes.
Every section every different thing was in sets of six.
You would have had some experience at teaching in country schools too, especially accommodation.
Well, I dare say I could say it, nobody's name would be mentioned. But when I first went to the country, I got out of the train where the gatehouse was. There wasn't a station, and the ganger on the railway line, his wife, had to come down and open it up. But the man standing on the station was the man who was secretary of the school committee, and he came up to me and said, "Are you the teacher?" And I said, "Yes, I was." He said, "Well, nobody wants you, so we're having you, and don't fight with my wife, because if you do, you can go." And I hadn't even got off the station. And when I arrived at the house, this poor woman was standing at the top of the stairs with two children clinging on to her. One child was six, and the other younger. And she said to me, looking straight down the steps at me, "Are you a Catholic?" And I said, "No, I'm a Presbyterian." "Just as well," she said, "because we don't have Catholics in this house either." And that was where I stayed for a year. And I still send the lady a Christmas card.
Well, you must have been quite fairly happy there.
Well, put it this way, I appreciated the work she had to do, because I'd never had much to do with housework, not as it was, but I was given my list of jobs when I sat down at tea that night. I had to get the baby changed in the morning when they went to the shed, so they'd push the cot into my room with the nappy. That was my first job. And in the afternoon, we all had a bath by the stove in a tub, a metal tub that was about 10 inches high. I was first.
You were lucky.
You put each part in separately. And then the children were bathed in the same water, and then I could throw the water out. Water was scarce.
Probably it was only tank water, wouldn't it?
Yes, all tank. Mm.
You learnt to look after water when you only had tank
water. You did. And the first night I slept there, I had a little lamp beside the bed that you lit, one of those with a wick, and I turned the light out. And I'd only been in bed about 10 minutes, and something whooshed past me in the dark, and my hair stood up on end, and I lit the light with shivering fingers, couldn't see anything. There were bats in the ceiling.
Not fruit bats?
No, not the fruit bats, ordinary bats. And, of course, the ceiling, the fretwork was broken, and they came out when it was dark. So I'm still here to tell the tale.
I wonder how some of the young teachers these days would take to this when they have to have
balls. I will admit that the society in Brisbane, you know, of the old teachers, wrote and asked me if I'd like to give a donation to the people who are in the country to help the student teachers or the young teachers these days. But they mentioned names of places that even had shops.
Oh, goodness.
No, I didn't send a donation.
There were so many people that grew their own things in those days too. Nearly every house had a chook house with a few chooks.
We did.
Yes, we did.
You got fond of them even if you ate them later on.
Preferably with a mulberry tree.
Yes. Oh, we had a what we called bopple nut in those days. And it was now called macadamia, of course, isn't it?
Yes.
And we loved those. We used to knock them off. We had an old Mother Potts iron that we used to stand the nut in and in a bit of a hollow.
Hit it with a hammer.
A bang with a hammer. But we had a banana tree and an orange tree and a bit of a garden and a custard apple tree.
Yes, we had a custard apple tree and a mango tree.
They were pretty good, especially when it was time to make mango chutney or something.
Yes.
Then you'd have to pick up all the bad mangoes under the tree, which
and,
was a bit
and
of
rake
a,
up the leaves.
Yes, that's terrible. Something you
However,
did have to
that
do.
Was one of the things that you did. But I can remember that we had a neighbour quite a way along what is now Brannion Street, Miss Coates, and she used to grow the most beautiful strawberries. So when the strawberries were in season, we would go for long walks after school to get strawberries from Miss Coates.
Because that in those days there were only strawberries at the strawberry places, weren't there?
Yes, you didn't know. People didn't
did
grow.
She give? Did you buy them then and take them home, or did she give you
No,
them?
We used to buy them and take them home. And then there was a man who called Jimmy Angus who lived in a shack, a really old shack made of galvanised iron and bits and pieces, on the banks of what is now the drain, but the creek.
Oh, near Walker Street.
In Walker Street there.
That goes up past Swenson's Heights.
Yes, And that's right there, he had some land there, and he used to live there, and he grew all his own vegetables, and he used to walk down the creek into the town to the library, which was then in the School of Arts.
That's right.
He was quite a well-educated man. He had a cane farm in Mackay. And I don't know why he lived there, but he was happy. That was the main thing. And
there were a few of them like that.
There were, yes. And he grew vegetables. Which he would sell because he grew more than he needed for himself. And I know my brother used to disappear on Saturday mornings. And Mother would say, "Where's John?" And I'd say, "Oh, he's down with Jimmy Angus."
where the vegetables and fruit are. Well, there was Mrs.
He was such an interesting man. John used to go down there and talk to him by the hour.
See, a lot of those people, too, didn't have a lot to come and go on. There was no such thing as a pension, was there?
Oh, no. They had to have their own money to
Yes.
So the more they could grow themselves, the less it cost to feed them.
Can you remember when the milk was always delivered by horse and cart?
And the ice and the butter.
That's right.
And Walker Street in those days was just a sandy stretch.
And the hill was quite steep.
Yes, and the milkman used to come along. Actually, he came from Fairymead.
Who was he, do you remember?
It was Patterson's.
Patterson's?
Patterson's.
Oh, I know the Patterson's, yes. And that's Mary's relations.
Yes, and he used to come in and bring the milk in. And you took the jug or the billy or something onto the road, turned the milk on and got your milk and took it inside.
Well, we used to get ours from Mr. Axum. And he delivered it, and he used to. Actually, he lent my brother a horse once, and Ken had the horse for a fortnight. But he used to deliver milk, and the bread was delivered by a cart.
The bread was delivered by a carter.
And if you were very nice, they might sometimes give you a ride to the next block.
And the butterman came every day.
Yes.
And he brought the ice too.
And remember when Chris used to send round the... Orderman,
yes.
He came to the kitchen.
He came to the kitchen door. And
was it once a week or once a fortnight, I think it was? And you gave him the order. You just sat there and
told him what you wanted.
Yes.
And it was delivered.
To the door.
And if you'd been good, there was a little packet of sweets in for the children. Boiled lollies.
Well, that's now something reminds me. When I used to be young, my grandma lived over North Side and I was allowed to walk the bridge once I got to be 10. After I'd had my music lesson and stay the weekend. And she would send me down to Mahoney and Dexter's on Saturday morning to get some saveloys or something because the sweat rustle, the butcher was there. And any child who went down there on Saturday morning got a piece of pink ice and half a saveloy free.
Oh, I didn't ever get that. John used to go to Hutchins Butcher on his bike.
Where was the Hutchins in your area?
Bingra Street.
Oh, so that was there.
Yes, he used to go down on his bike and get the meat. But Mother didn't often go shopping. If she was going to get some new dresses, she would ring up and they would send up samples of the material with the costs and everything to the house, and she would decide what she wanted, and then it would be sent up, and then the dressmaker would come in for 2 days.
That happened to us too. We had a friend who was a dressmaker and she would come to the house for 2 days to make our school uniforms or our new dress.
Yes.
And we often got a new dress. Often we get one new dress a year. And I can remember the tartan skirts were very popular because you had them on a bodice and the bodice was had a tuck in at the bottom.
So the
and as you grew,
the tuck was
undone and it would just make the skirt longer. And the skirt had a big hem on it.
Yes.
So that would probably last you many years.
Well, of course, when I was at the high at the intermediate school, we had to do domestic science 1 day a week. 1 week you did cooking and the next
That's
week
right,
you did sewing.
That's right, I remember that.
And one of the things that we made were our school blouses. And I was quite keen on sewing, so of course I used to do some blouses for myself at home then on the old treadle machiner.
That's right.
I was very lucky if
old
I got...
Old singer. What happened to yours?
I gave it to someone who was collecting sewing machines.
I think ours was given to someone who got married and needed a machine, imagine it. And Mum had already been given that by one of the sisters at the Lady Chelmsford Hospital who didn't want one, so it wasn't even new when Mum got it.
No, well, I did lots and lots of sewing on that Singer machine.
Yes, so did I, and it could sew through bag. I mean, they weren't like the ones you get today that are so modern that you just have to have the right needle or it doesn't work.
Yes, or the computer goes wrong.
That's right.
Oh, and of course, all the lessons that you had in those days, you didn't have music lessons and things at school.
No.
If you were lucky, there was a school choir.
I remember the school choir in the war, do you?
I was in Brisbane by the time the war started.
I went to high school, they had a school choir, and the man from Ferrymead was the man who took it. I can't remember who he was now. Stevens, I think his name was. But I can tell you who sang the solos, Keith Lassig and Gordon Dick.
They were both at school
both
with
school
me,
children,
but just behind me.
And
they had lovely voices. Mr. Crony's Farewell, because I've got a program of Mr. Crony's Farewell of the students.
Well, that's who, and I think the choir had over 100 in it, and it was held at the Paramount Theatre.
That's right.
A very big choir, school choir. Everyone in a white shirt and a black tie.
And the girls in white. Pam sang in a school choir, my daughter, but that was when Cliff Stringer was doing it. But he used to go around to the various schools.
I can remember him when I came back here teaching.
You'd
he
remember
was a
him
music
when you were
teacher.
Mm.
That's right.
But
and I think he was the first music teacher here. I think he was the first school music teacher.
I think he was too, yes. My first music lessons were given to me at home by Helen Steinle, Helen Cattermole, as she was
later. She came to the house. See, Miss Greathead used to do that, but not when she taught me.
No.
She used to come on a horse when my mother was a child, and she came to the gasworks and taught them there, but she would go around the whole district.
Yes, well, she came
and then she had a little house down. She had a room in the church behind Dr. Schmidt's.
That's right.
And she was there for many years.
And then there were three of us. My cousin John boarded with us during the week.
Is that John Middlehouse?
John Middlehouse. Mm. Because he went to the Christian Brothers and they felt it was a bit much for him to ride his bike in and out to Bernard Heads every day.
Well, it was
so
a lot, wasn't it?
He stayed with us from Monday to Friday and went home at weekends.
Do you remember the old horse and cart in Bourbon Street that used to take the nuns down to the school?
Oh, yes.
Can you remember the name of the man who...
No, I can't remember his name. But I can remember them going down in the horse
and they taught music at the convent there. They were very good with music. They had a lot of students.
And then, of course, we had dance lessons with Miss Rice.
Oh, yes.
We had to be taught how to do the...
Waltzing?
Waltzing particularly, and one step. I think we had.
Anything exciting?
And then when we were at the high school, we used to do the Irish one.
I can't remember that. See, in the when I went to high school, there was no dancing at all there, and there was very little sport because of the war.
Yeah, that's right, because the
And remember, your mother was involved in this. Remember when the war started and the schools were closed for a while? Didn't your mother...
Yes, we had...
..took school at home, and my aunt, who went through the...
Yes.
..with your mum and Mr Cunningham as pupil teachers, she taught us at her place.
Yes, well, we had quite a few because it was just before I went to the university. And
yes.
We used to have quite a few that could get in and they'd do their schoolwork at our place.
And that went on for about 2 months, didn't it? 2 or 3 months before the
school. Yeah, the schools did.
And then the
because
schools
we had the flood, you see.
We had the 42 flood and the schools all had air raid shelters.
Oh, yes.
That were dug.
In the school grounds.
I can remember my brother, who was always up to trouble. After the wet season, they used to have these practices and he would go...
Down first because it was wet.
Jump in. Have to be sent home to get changed. Good excuse to stay away from school.
Well, my one memory of going into an air raid shelter was when I was at the university in 1942 and we were in the middle of a physics lecture. And when we came out of the physics lecture, there wasn't a soul in sight.
They were all in an air raid shelter.
They were all in the air raid shelter. We hadn't even heard the siren.
We had one in the backyard, did you?
Oh, this was at the university. No, oh, they had really good ones at the university, so they were well built. But we didn't get into them because we didn't hear it go. I hear the siren
go. It seems so sunny, doesn't it, that you needed an air raid shelter here. But
of course it was. Brisbane was
on the line. And MacArthur was in Brisbane.
Yes, and we had... at Kangaroo Point, the trucks used to come in from the wharves along Shafton Avenue and across the Story Bridge.
They would. Mm.
And because the Story Bridge was just finished.
Yeah. And see, a lot of the troop trains, we'd see them at school coming past.
Well, I can remember coming home for holidays on a troop train. You couldn't even sit down. It was so packed.
No, it was really... It was hard work travelling in the trains in those days, wasn't it?
It certainly was.
People would be lying on the floor trying to sleep.
They used to remember they used to have
in the racks? Some of them got in there,
got up in the racks and sleep.
Very agile. They certainly were. Yes.
Yes, I think it did a lot of harm to all the afternoon tea parties that the ladies used to have. In spite of the... Depression.
They still
had their afternoon tea parties and they used to cook the most beautiful cakes.
Well, the women, my aunt organised a group that used to cook on a Thursday during the war. Whether they took that to the for people who were in the soldiers out at the airport here or not, I don't know, but that went on for quite a while. And then after the war they met once a month. Your aunt, was it? Dorothy Middle?
Yes.
She was one of them that was in it. My mum and Mrs Wren and Mary Milligan next door. And Auntie Carrie Fleming was the one that organised that. And I think Mrs Redden organised one for the... Was it the Comforts Fund or the Red Cross?
Yeah, Comforts Fund, I think.
One was for the Red Cross and one was for the Comforts Fund. So that was quite interesting too. Finished.
I have just enjoyed this. It's been lovely. The last 10 years have been wonderful since I moved back to Bargara and reunited with Faye because we have had so many reminiscences. We do so many things together. We're both keen on theatre and we're doing lots of things.
It's been a real blessing.
We've had a wonderful time.